Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Don't be overthinking this, fellas. That's Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, and William Nylander on the other side of the rink. Good morning to you. Good Monday morning from Toronto. I'm Dejan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports, and this is Daily Shot of Penguins. Comes your way bright and early every weekday if you're into football and or baseball. I also offer daily shots of Steelers and Pirates in the same place that you found this. It is Penguins versus Maple Leafs here tonight at Scotiabank Arena. I'll be covering it for DK Pittsburgh Sports. And more than anything, I want to be spectacularly bored. And you should want something very similar to that. I don't know why it is that in hockey, unlike other sports, we seem to get a little bit turned off when there isn't offense. Like when you're talking about football, what gets you excited in Pittsburgh, especially the steel curtain, the defense? Everybody talks about it. Been talking about it for 50 years around here since Mean Joe Green was drafted. Everything was going to be about defense in baseball. Because the Pirates are a National League team and because of the extra pride that comes with that sort of thing that might still be lingering, even though there isn't much difference between the leagues anymore, there's a pride in small ball and the fundamentals and, of course, in defense. And for the most part, even when the Pirates have totally stunk, which has been for the better part of the past 40 years, they've been solid defensively. And we will always applaud that. We'll always make it little extra effort to romanticize it, right? In hockey, it's like, ooh, you're being the Devils from 1995. Stop it. We don't even know who you are anymore. Well, the Penguins aren't that. But what they need to do to survive this final handful of games and to make the Stanley Cup playoffs is exactly what they've been doing right now in this ongoing 6-0-1 run, because they have been super sound in their own end, even in the neutral zone where they've been kind of lousy for the better part of the season. And Mike Sullivan always goes out of his way to point this out, defense begins with the responsibility that you show with the puck in the offensive zone. Don't just go throwing it laterally and give it up to somebody, because then you're going to give up, especially against a more dynamic team, you know, kind of like the one they're facing tonight. Odd man breaks, breakaways, all that stuff that we saw the Penguins do for the better part of 5 months. When you look at the way they're defending right now, it is a 200 by 85 thing. I went back, I did this last night, actually, before leaving for Canada, and reviewed their film against the Lightning. And that was with a special focus on the first 12 minutes in which the Bolts didn't have a single shot on goal. And this is the, you know, the highest scoring team in the league on the power play over the full course of the regular season. But they also have the leading scorer overall in Nikita Kucherov. They have Steven Stamkos. I don't need to tell you any of that stuff. No shots, first 12 minutes. How did they do that? And it wasn't very hard to break down. You didn't need to be Scotty Bowman or Tobe Blake or Herb Brooks to pull it off. What you saw was that when the Penguins clearly lost possession in the attacking zone, they just as clearly backed off, and they backed off big time. Now, this is not a change to their system. This is something that Mike Sullivan's had in there for about 3 years. What he's done of late is that he has really reinforced it. Give you an example. There's a sequence where Kucherov himself is coming out of the Lightning zone. The Penguins have their fourth line out there, and Valtteri Puustinen, it doesn't matter who's what position, who's at, you know, which assigned position. Puustinen drifts back into the middle of the rink because he's already in the middle of the rink. Two other forwards, whoever they happen to be, whatever positions they are, will flank him. Their goal is to create kind of like an inverted flying V, if you can picture it, meaning you now, as the opponent, have to try to come through the middle of the rink facing three forwards in a triangle formation, forcing you to the outside. So the Lightning did this a few times in the first period and just went to the sides. Well, the Penguins had their defensemen, both of them, stretched out really wide to the sides. It was a nice, nice-looking scheme, but a nicer-looking execution. And the puck goes wide. The Penguins' defensemen are just waiting for it. They turn around and they counter right back, and everybody's waiting for it. All the forwards are waiting for that counter pass. They're not going, oh, look, we got it. What do we do now? Uh-uh. They got it and took off. Sometimes they had their skates going before they got it, which is that much better. Happened a lot when it was Sidney Crosby's line out there. The Kucherov does this once, doesn't get through, gets rejected, turns around, sends it back up the right boards, and the Lightning enter the zone, but they're immediately, the puck is immediately cornered by not one, but two players, Marcus Pettersson and Lars Eller. That player's got no chance. He's not going anywhere with the puck, and chances are really good the puck is not going anywhere without him, meaning he's not going to get a pass through. So he just kind of chips it further down the boards, and Chris Letang's the first one there, skates around the net, chips it up to Riley Smith. Riley Smith chips it back up. And guess who's waiting for it and going forward in stride? Eller. Just like that. It was like a, I was about to say a slingshot effect. It's more like a boomerang. The Lightning threw something into the zone and it just came all the way around the boards and right back out. And there are the Penguins doing it systematically. Their breakouts in these past three or four games across the board have been the best I've seen them in probably 2-3 years. Not just this season, but for a while now. That's what they need to do. That's the equalizer. That's what allows you to go and beat the Rangers at the Garden. Beat the Lightning after they come in on a 10-1-1 roll. Beat the Capitals in a do or die down in Washington. They can do this. They have the confidence. If you ever want to have some fun, look at the top 10 teams in the NHL's overall standings and ask yourself which ones the Penguins have beaten at any point in the year. And they've gotten almost all of them. I want to say Dallas is the lone exception. It's remarkable. When we come back, J1Q.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Today's J1Q comes from Mike, who says, "Hey, DK, is it time to call the trade for Michael Bunting a draw and a win if even one of the prospects materializes? I love Jake Guentzel and everything he did for the Penguins and was as sorry as anyone to see him go. However, Bunting has solidified Evgeny Malkin's line and goes to the net, which has been lacking all year. He's not Patrick Hornquist, but he's brought a dimension that was sorely lacking." Oh, okay. I found it funny to refer to it as the Michael Bunting trade, but, you know, he's been very good. And I don't think there's anybody anywhere who could reasonably doubt that. I didn't doubt that he was going to be a decent player, but I didn't then, and I don't now, view this trade as having been Guentzel for Bunting. I don't think that's fair to Bunting. Guentzel's been, 30-goal, 40-goal scorer in the NHL for a pretty consistent period now. Bunting's not that, and he's not about to become that at this stage of his career. He's 28 years old. Jake's 29. But his performance to date has been both productive and, as you suggest, uplifting for everybody involved, including Gino, because he has gone to the net. He has finished his chances the way he did with that in tight backhander to win the game Saturday past Andrei Vasilevsky. I don't view long-term trades as something where you can just close the book at any early period. When I bitterly criticized the Guentzel trade and called it awful and called it all kinds of other things, my reference, and I made this clear at the time, was to the timing and the circumstance of the trade, meaning you don't need to trade Jake, start with that, and you don't need to trade him, and you don't really benefit, in theory, from trading him as a rental the way you would if he'd been signed to some sort of long-term deal, whether that's a sign-and-trade with another team, whether that's a sign-and-trade that's executed at the Pittsburgh end. But you don't trade him as a rental. So whatever it is that you like about Bunting, whatever it is that you might like about the prospects, and remember there's draft picks involved in that as well, remember that it could have been a heck of a lot more if it was executed intelligently. So I know that's not going to be something that everyone's going to hear and go, "Oh yeah, that makes perfect sense." You're going to have to trust me that it makes sense in my head. I'm very comfortable with saying that Bunting's been very good, and at the same time that this trade was executed poorly. I did not and do not see it as a Guentzel for Bunting trade. I don't think that's the exchange. I appreciate the question. I appreciate everyone listening to Daily Shot of Penguins, and we're going to do another one from here tomorrow.